Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the greatest show on earth, Broken But Glorious. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by my king of trios, Nick Davey, Oliver Newman and Mark Fox.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening, lads?
Right, I might have to submit my resignation form because I only like a solo induction. I don't like to be credited as part of a trio.
You don't have anything to sell, Nick. I like a good solo
induction.
The only trio that I'm interested in is the biscuit variety.
Yeah. How you doing this evening, lads?
Good, man.
Good evening, all. Yeah, very well.
Yeah, all good here, thanks. How are you, Chris?
Very well. I've been very chesty the last couple of nights, so I haven't had a good night's sleep for about a week. But I'm all right. So should we start with Mark? Have you got any turn chuckle, hands off the merchandise news before we get into it?
Yeah, we've just uploaded the Austin Idol interview, which is pretty dope.
It's a really good, really fun
interview, actually. And we cover everything from his early days, Mid-South from Georgia and whatnot, through to current day of him managing people in Billy Corgan's NWA, to the fact that he's going to be in a computer game that we've obviously spoken about at length before, when it's released next year from RetroSoft, Retromania. So, yeah, man, a really fun interview. That's up now to check out. You can get the links and usual haunts on our Grapple Arcade Twitter, at Grapple Arcade, and the BBG one, and also, obviously, on this SoundCloud account, because you'll be listening to us talking about it now. So, yeah, check it out. But also, Grapple Arcade have just launched... in connection with Tweet Wrestling, who is an author who's just written a History of Hasbro Wrestling Figures book, which is due to be released quite soon, and it's really in-depth. Lots of interesting information about the line, about the characters in the line, blah, blah, blah. And that's coming out quite soon. But we've joined forces to bring out something called the Custom Hasbro Competition, which is where we take a bunch of knackered Hasbros, we send them to customizers around the world who have taken part in the competition. They doll them up, turn them into something awesome. So basically recycling knackered toys. And we're running a competition and we've got some prizes sorted where the winner of which will gain the prizes that we're collating. But all of the customs, all of the figures that are being made are all going to be sold on eBay with all the money going to charity. Okay. So it's quite a fun competition for wrestling figure collectors and the customizers of the world, because there's a lot of them, believe it or not. But yeah, we're doing that at the moment. We've just launched that, so that's on Twitter at Grapple Arcade and our pinned tweet, so you can get a bit more info about that there.
Yeah, you can check out our interviews with referee James Greenwood. That's going very well. It's released last Friday, and the lads from the Badlands podcast, Mags and Paul. I also appeared on the Badlands podcast last week. You can listen to that, and I'm going to appear on the Why We Watch podcast, which is released tomorrow. So look out for that on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. This week we'll be releasing our interview with the professional Nathan Cruz, which was a really fun guy to talk to.
Awesome.
After the news, today we'll have another fantastic quiz, a question of sports entertainment, with Oliver being the question master this week.
The Jeremy Clarkson this week.
We're also creating teams to compete in the King of Trios tournaments, given our match recommendations in positive in pro wrestling, and then finishing off with the big debate.
You know what it is, lads? I want to tell you right now about the King of Trios thing. I want to tell you right now the amount of quality bloody journalistic bullshit that I've got into to get this right. I've done it. I've been in communication with some of the wrestlers in my actual King of Trios team to ask them very specific questions to make sure I've really seen them. So, yeah. I tell you now, mate. It's not cheating. I've selected the characters, I've got in touch with them and said, right guys, this is what we're doing, because I've gone for very specific ground rules as to why I'm picking mine.
Yes,
okay. I've given myself very, very tight restrictions because I'm an idiot.
My kids have also gave their suggestions as well, and they've also asked Twitter for their suggestions, so we'll say that in that segment.
A kid.
Right, but first, for the love of wrestling, have announced that Kenny Omega will appearing on the Saturday. Autographs, £50. Photographs, £50.
I think it's a great shout in terms of a personality to bring in.
Yes.
What wrestling fans who are mourning about it need to understand is if we carry on with the let's get legends from 20 years ago, we've probably only got about two shows left because of who's still, dare I say, alive or fit enough or well enough to travel.
They need a good mix, I think,
of course we do. We need names over that are going to bring more of a crowd in, but we also, in order to kind of, like I said, I'm not trying to sound horrible or dark by suggesting what I've suggested, but we got a lot of big hitters last year, a lot of names at the last For the Love of Wrestling. The next one that we've got a lot of big names again, but how long is that business model achievable?
Yes.
In terms of signing the big names, other than just getting the big names to come back several times? There's only so many big, larger-than-life superstar names you can get to this, and then the mid-card, if you like, and I'm just putting that bluntly. You've only got a couple of years left unless you start mixing it up a bit, and I think what they've done there was a really, really good idea for the future of
the show. I saw you right on to Twitter asking him to visit the Grapple Arcade table.
Oh, we're straight on there, like, to be fair, yeah. Come on over and let's have a blast, Kenny. Let's have a game of WrestleMania Arcade game on the Saturn or something.
So the Full of a Wrestling event takes place on the 18th and 19th of April 2020 at the Exhibition Centre in Liverpool. Some progress news. So the inaugural Proteus champion, Paul Robinson, has revealed a stipulation
for
defending the belt. So congratulations, Nick. You predicted Paul Robinson would be the first one to get the belt.
First thing I think I've ever predicted successfully, but no, I'm delighted with this. Rob, obviously, any progress fan will know Robbo's literally given all his blood and more for the company since it all started. He's been He's been a very, very key part there for progress. So it is a fantastic moment for him to be the first ever belt. And his stipulations, bit of a funny one, isn't it? So I think it's what is he got? He's either got to get knocked out or he's got to tap out, hasn't he? He can't lose the belt if he's pinned.
Yeah.
Also, as well, anyone uses the belt as a weapon in any match, then they're automatically disqualified for disrespecting the belt.
Yeah.
So some very unusual circumstances there, but I think the promo was typical Robbo, really, wasn't it? And the way he went about it. But no, it's I think it's this type belt will be very interesting. It's very indie belt. It wouldn't work in, like, obviously a big promotions like WWE and AEW and what have you. So I think it'll be a huge success.
Yeah, just for the people who are not familiar with Progress, the Proteus Championship is the title holder is able to set the stipulation for the championship matches that he will have. So Paul Robinson has said the stipulation is no disqualification and you have to win by knockout or tap out. And for an added stip, there's only one way to get disqualified, is if you use the belt as a weapon. So that's a good first one, I think.
But there's matches as well, the loads of opponents he can face there. And I think also as well, Progress, obviously, it's no secret, they've lost a lot of wrestlers to various promotions over the last couple of years or so, but there's still a load of young talent coming through, and Robbo will be very keen. If anyone can beat Robbo for the belt, then already they become also an instant star.
So, and as previously reported, a GoFundMe account was started for former WWE WCW star Brian Mobbs for his medical bills, and the goal of $10,000 was reached because Chris Jericho donated $1,500. But it's amazing, he's donated so much over the years.
Yeah, plus act, really. Take it all of him, mate.
Boy, Jericho.
Yeah, see, there's a couple of them. He donated $5,000 to help cover the funeral expenses of Paul's Mahoney, $2,500 for a fundraiser set up by Tyler Breeze and Kevin Owens for the victims of the Alberta forest fires, $2,500 towards Rex King's funeral costs. Another one was $300 for Black Dragons so he could get some boots, $5,000 so Kamala could save his house. And the list goes on and on and on. He's just an amazing bloke. So.
Yeah, no. He takes a lot of stick, but there's a reason he's the best intercontinental champion of all time, I suppose, isn't it, Nick?
No, a bit above all, though. That is just, it's just incredible. Just great thing. We've obviously had chats like this before about when sad stuff happens in the wrestling industry, about everyone pulling together, and it's just, obviously it's nice to hear that everyone's got each other's back. And I think again sums up Chris outside the ring of how much he how much of a great man he is, really.
Oh, my favourite one, he gave $500 to help sick cat called Jax.
This is Benji from the Land of Gentry. And if you've got any class, you'd be listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so it's time for Positive in Pro Wrestling. Who wants to go first?
I'll tell you what, I'll go first, because if we're going to go in a chronological order. Right, well, I'm going to go for a GWF match from back in the day between Lightning Kid, also known as 123 Kid, pre him joining WWF at the time,
yeah.
Versus Jerry Lynn in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Wow.
Now, believe me, honestly, lads, seriously, what a cracking match this was. It was so good. You wouldn't believe how on the ball, or maybe you would, if people know what Sean Waltman's like, sort of pre-123 Kid sort of era, and pre-X-Book era, he was a proper thinking wrestler. His knowledge in the ring and how to get the crowd sort of behind him or against him was ridiculous, and you wouldn't believe it until you see certain matches. But this particular match against Jerry Lynn was fantastic. It was 2 out of 3 falls. There was stipulations, we talked about stipulations to a match, there were stipulations to this match that Lightning Kid had to perform his Lightning Strike Tombstone to set up the pin. Wow. That was his stipulation. He had to do that in order to get a legal pin. So he had to perform one of his finishers to get the pin. And Jerry Lynn could only get a win by sleeper.
Oh, wow.
Sleeper hold. So it's like very specific stipulations in a match. But honestly, man, Kid as a heel, and some of the sort of dastardly things he would do, some of it was really simplistic, but the way he did it was so good. Just give it a watch, man. Psychology, you would never guess from Sean Waltman pre-WWF. Sean Waltman's psychology in the ring was bloody good. So yeah, my positive in pro wrestling this week is pre-123 Kid WWF as Lightning Kid versus Jerry Lynn in GWF, and it's available on the network. You can go watch it on the network.
Oh, brilliant.
In Hidden Gems.
And GWF is Global Wrestling Federation.
But yeah, as I say, it's on the network in the Hidden Gems folder at the moment, and definitely worth going to have a watch. Solid sort of 10-15 minute match, just cracking, really, really good all round.
I heard a lot about that match, but I haven't seen it yet.
Worth it.
I still never unlocked Jerry Lynn on SmackDown, just bring it, just saying. going back,
I don't know what you're missing, Nick. You know, read your... new FP show.
For my pick this week, it was a moment that made me want to cry. This week, it was a fantastic wrestling moment, one of the best wrestling moments we've seen this calendar year. But it was a great wrestling match. It was on Raw last week between Baron Corbin and Chad Gable in the King of the Ring final. All hail King Corbin, is all I'm going to say.
It's been the moment of the century so far, I think.
All hail Chris Lappin for getting the whole thing right, probably.
I think with the bit of background context, I mean, before the show, all joking aside, before the tournament started, I was jokingly saying I actually want Corbin to win. It was a complete joke. No one in their right mind really wanted him to win, unless you were just hoping for a bit of a wind-up to see fans get wound up on Twitter sort of thing. But you have actually noticed, this is a general opinion now, as the tournament has gone on, we actually have seen some very good Baron Corbin matches. He's played to his character extremely well in all of the matches, I do think. I thought the semi-final match with Balor and... with Joe... with Samoa Joe, sorry, and Ricochet, I beg your pardon. I thought it was a really great triple threat match, and he played to his character superbly well, and he has got the general heat as well after every match, and the match against Chad Gables become Raw was just a fantastic wrestling match. It's obviously really helped Chad Gable as well, because obviously as well the post match we've seen him coming out on SmackDown and keeping the feud going, so to speak. I believe they've got a match on Raw this week as well, so it's not like Chad Gable's been chucked in the dustbin straight away as well. So at least they're keeping him quite fresh, keeping him in a good storyline. But I think overall, I think this could be the turning point in Baron Corbin's career. He's gone from being the boring part of Raw. He's been obviously not been too great in the ring, but I think this tournament's done him an absolute world of good. And I think, mate, yeah, we could be seeing a new star maybe born. We could have a fantastic new heel in the WWE. So
I really hope so for his sake, because I think he's taken some unjust criticism over the years. I think there's been a lot of fair criticism. But I think, as you know, these things go, once somebody's sort of labelled with something, then it just snowballs from there, doesn't it? And people aren't willing to actually then acknowledge anything positive, much like what happened with Ziggler a bit. Ziggler gets a lot of that grief as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of it's unjust.
Jericho when he joined the WWF back in the day.
I wasn't taking any of that. I was firmly behind Jericho when he joined. But completely.
No, both backstage and stuff. Yes. They said he couldn't work and whatever.
Yeah. That's it.
Just with regards to what Nick's saying, the only thing I'd say, I completely agree with what he's saying regarding Baron Corbin. The only thing is with what's happened on Tuesday night on SmackDown, because Corbin beat Gable clean in the middle of the ring, apart from obviously the short jokes that Corbin did towards Gable, it kind of makes Gable look like a sore loser. He probably should have cheated to win the King of the Ring, in hindsight.
I think that's a fair point, actually.
It's not fair point, but I'm sure, as I say, we'll, over the next couple of weeks, or how long the feud's got left in it, we'll see where they want to go with it. But so I think if they can keep Gable at that level as well, they've done a good trick with him. I think they also need to stop the short jokes. But
if he's getting popular with the fans, though, Nick, I didn't think it would, but the fans are so behind Gable. It's ridiculous, and it's all because of this short joke stuff.
Well, you could
just don't like, but it is working.
It's the aesthetical underdog, isn't it?
It is working.
It's the aesthetical underdog.
Yeah.
Simple booking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. My pick is the British Rounds rules match, Cassius Ohno versus Scala. So the match was 6 rounds of 3 minutes, and to win you had to get either 2 pins, 2 submissions, or 1 of each, or win via knockout. I thought they played the situation really well. Scala was really great babyface to rally behind against the much larger Ohno. I loved how they tried something different. I know this match type isn't going to be for everybody, but I thought it worked really well. I'd love them to bring in a British Rounds title for the NXT UK, similar to the Impact Grand Championship they had earlier this year. Yeah, go check it out, the network.
Yeah, this is a great way to kill off all the sport wrestling. Bring in the round system and a title, and that'll kind of end it completely. I haven't seen the match, but it sounds like I'm glad that they used that concept, because obviously British wrestling, and this is the British version of NXT and stuff, so yeah. But the one I'm going for is the Trios match on Impact Wrestling with the Rascals against the AAA Stars. For me, it was just, I love innovative wrestling, and the Rascals are just amazing. As were the AAA Stars, to be honest, I saw some stuff that I never thought I'd see in a wrestling ring. Another brilliant show from Mexico that I said off there, you should watch this. Yeah, so for my positive in pro wrestling pick, we'll have the Rascals versus the AAA Stars.
I'll be checking that Impact match out, definitely. Anyway.
Really good week.
This is Brian Adenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
So it's time for the first round of A Question of Sports Entertainment. So, Oliver, take us away.
Yep. I was looking at different ways to do this, and I'm going to do it with a tie-in to an interview that James Campbell had via the turnshuckle with Mark and Pablo. And, of course, I'm talking about Tiger Man and my favourite modern-day wrestler, who is becoming an actor, Paul London. So get ready for some obscure Paul London questions, guys.
Awesome.
Jesus Christ.
That's the answer to number one.
Yeah, so I was going to do a different thing, honest to God, but this is the one I've been thinking about all week, and it's probably the easiest way to do it and stuff. So, yeah. I'll try and give you a chance, but obviously you guys like hard quizzes, so we'll just go with this. Paul London debuted in Ring of Honor in 2002. Can you tell me which show he debuted on? That's question one.
A pay-per-view, was it?
It's a DVD. They weren't on pay-per-view at the time.
Well, no idea.
And just send the answers to my Facebook.
I can't even name a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
I feel really bad for you in this one, Nick, but I remember times when you was like, I'm the quiz champion and stuff, so, you know, you reap what you sow.
I just had to say, I wrote no answer.
Just make random things up. Okay. Second question. At ROH Unscripted, Paul London took on Michael Shane in one of the first ROH classics. Many people have this mistaken for a ladder match. What was the actual match title? I'm going to struggle to get some answers from this quiz. Okay. Has everyone sent in an answer? Oh man, some of these answers are great. Okay, from the same show, Paul London was supposed to be a part of a tag team to go into a tournament for the ROH tag team trophies at the time. He didn't go into the tag team because he was in this match. Who was supposed to be his tag team partner? Just waiting for your answer, Mark. Yep. Okay. So, Paul London took on John Cena on a WWE show in December of 2002. What show was this?
I think I might have got that one right.
It's open.
I'm not hopeful, lads. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not hopeful for any of you, to be honest, based on the answers so far, but it could be like a single digits answer quiz.
That's all we need. If I can reach like, the heights of single digits.
If like someone wins 1-0 or something, it's looking like that at the moment.
I didn't watch okay, so the biggest WWE in 2002.
Yeah. The biggest ROH show at the time happened in February 2003. ROH 1 year anniversary. Paul London was in a triple threat match. He went against AJ Styles and who?
Ring of Honor 2003.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spelt it wrong.
And that's my five questions for round one.
Admit something at this point. I think I've watched one ROH show in my entire life. So. This should be fun.
I don't think it was
at this point, so you know.
I watched it for the couple of months. It was on the wrestling channel. That was it.
Yeah, basically the highlights.
You're gonna have some results now.
I am. That video package for AJ was probably as much awesome ROH I've ever seen.
Cool. You gotta go for the answers.
I really want to get into it. I've just never had the opportunity to get into it. Anyway.
The theme music was awesome for AJ. Should never have changed. Well, but I suppose when he came to WWE, he had awesome theme music as well. But in TNA, that music was incredible.
So the first answer is the Dishonor of London.
Dishonor of London. Okay, so Paul London debuted at ROH Round Robin Challenge in March 2002. So, none of you got that right, I don't think.
No.
Chris said Dishonor of London. I'm going to embarrass you all. Nick didn't give an answer. And Mark got it confused with the amazing DVD that Hoist Watts brought out, Bogus Journey. Where Brian Kendry just went crazy saying random stuff. So, yep, no points for anyone on that one, lads. ROH Unscripted, the Paul London Michael Shane match is always mistaken for this, always mistaken for a ladder match. What was the actual match title? It's a street fight. So, Chris, it wasn't a window cleaning match. Nick, it wasn't a TLC, although you were kind of close, I suppose. And Mark's been watching too much ECW. It wasn't a Stairway to Hell match. Okay, so still no points for anyone.
I was thinking along the same way as Nick there. I was thinking it's just going to be a play on the ladder concept.
No, they use the ladder a lot. So that's why he gets mistaken for being in a ladder match. And obviously,
sure,
Paul London does a shooting star press off the ladder to end the match. Spoiler alert. So people think it's a ladder match. Okay, so from the same show, he was going to be in a tag team title tournament, well, tag team trophy tournament, because they want to make it awkward for me to say. His partner was going to be WWE's Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. So, Chris, it wasn't Dink the Clown. Nick, it wasn't Brian Kendrick. That was later. And Mark, it wasn't Brian Kendrick. So, still 0 points left.
So, I've got everything to play for. It's wide open.
Everything to play for, yeah. Okay. So, the next question was, Paul London fought John Cena in 2002 on a WWE show. Which show was it? It was Velocity.
Yes!
So, Dave, you got that
Velocity.
I'll tell you why I got it right. I'll tell you why I got it right. Basically, on the, I don't know if it was the showcase this year or the showcase on the WWE game, PlayStation game, the year before. But Daniel Bryan, when you start doing his career, starts off in Velocity against John Cena. So, yeah. Whilst it's Paul London, it's still around that time where John Cena was wrestling on Velocity a lot. So.
Yeah, I
played that game, and unfortunately the pins and submissions are terrible, so I gave it back to my neighbour.
Well done, Nick.
Yeah. But I'm gutted because I'm wanting to play through the Daniel Bryan story.
What did the other two put?
Superstars.
Okay, so Chris put Superstars. I'm not sure if Chris is taking this quiz seriously at this point.
I don't know the answers.
It was a fair guess, Superstars.
That's a fair guess.
Was Superstars around in 2003, though? I don't think it was. I think it was Heat and Velocity. Mark's put SmackDown, and that's a fair shake, because this was SmackDown's kind of... I hate when it gets called the B-show, because it was absolutely amazing for the longest time. Sometimes better than SmackDown, but yeah, it was the weekend SmackDown show, basically.
Yeah, I also thought it was SmackDown for some reason. Never mind.
Yeah.
Well done, Nick. Good answer.
So the next question, as we move up our way into 2003, was the ROH one-year anniversary show, biggest show in the history up until that point, from February 2003. Paul London was in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender to the all-around best Xavier's ROH World ROH Heavyweight title, because it wasn't world at the time. He was in the match with AJ Styles and Loki.
Yes.
So, Chris, you are correct. Nick, you are not correct. And Nick said Samoa Joe, as did Mark. So, at the end of round one, we have Mark on 0 points.
Cool, I'm just waiting for those 1992 questions. Be all right. Brian Kendrick, 1992 questions in round two.
You might have to wear a wall for those ones, Mark.
I'll bypass.
We have Chris on one, and we have Nick on one.
All right, so before we get into the King of Trios discussion, I just wanted to say that we have a partnership with Wrestling Resurgence, a great promotion coming out of Leicester. And the next show is the Roy Johnson's Everything's Patterned, 12th of October. It will feature the first ever Resurgence British Rounds match. Roy Johnson will face the OJMO And on the 5th, you can get 15% off tickets and merchandise for Resurgence gear if you use our promo code BROKEN15. The link will be in the description of the podcast. So, with there being no pay-per-view predictions or review this week, we thought we'd have a bit of fun and create teams that we'd wish could compete in the King of Trios tournaments. This year's tournament takes place between the 4th and 6th of October, and it already has a dream team in. It's got Scott Steiner, PT Williams and Jordan Grace competing.
It's a bit good, isn't it? It's a bit good, that team. And yes, the promo shots with the chainmail all look absolutely sick. Look
brilliant.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, so a little bit of history for those who are not familiar with Chikara. So Kid Trails is a three-night tournament promoted by Chikara. It's a knockout-style tournament. Three wrestlers compete in six-man tags to see who will advance. Previous winners include Richard Strongstyle, who won in 2017. Ray Phoenix won as part of Team AAA 2015. And friend of the show, Green Ants, won last year. And we spoke to him in our Man and Mark's interview earlier this year. So I'll put a link in the description if you want to go listen to that interview. Before we get into our suggestions, I did ask our Twitter followers for their suggestions. And here's some of the bets. Dits on Wrestling said they already exist. It's Wolf, Eichner and Bartel. The Imperium would be my dream. Motivated and Confident Mag says Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr. and Lance Archer. SLTDWrestling.com said the greatest trio of all time, Evolution. And they are four.
Brilliant.
Super Smart Mark. He put up a picture of the Marx Brothers from back in the day. And then he also put a picture up of the NWO. And then Stephen Jackson put a huge list on. But I liked the CCK and the free count suggestions. So, Mark, do you want to go first? You seem to be really excited about this.
I am a bit. I'm not going to lie to you, lads. Right, so I had a bit of a think about this. And the crack was, I'll be honest, I had about eight different teams by the end of it. It was a late night and I couldn't sleep. So what I ended up going with, I created my own stipulations of what I could choose and why I could choose these characters to be in my team, okay? So I went with, the team name is called Wish You Were Here. The reason for that is, all of my candidates all hail from undesirable locations. They'll all probably have a below average rating on Lonely Planet and probably a medium risk alert on gov.uk website as well.
Could I just say for the listeners, we did do like two rules. It was like realistic teams, no dead people.
Yeah.
Basically. And you can have men, women and from any promotion. Just
indeed. So so mine all come from sketchy places. And as I say, team called Wish You Were Here. The theme tune, because this is how deep I went, lads. The theme tune is Guns N' Roses, Right Next Door to Hell. The manager.
Oh, I've got a manager as well.
The manager is the Taskmaster, because he hails from the Iron Gates of Fate, obviously. So, my team. I'm going to start with the oldest, if you like, in terms of who made the impact on wrestling earliest. Short-lived, in fairness. But I reckon, give the lad a jumpsuit, he'll get back in the ring. Give the lad some feathers, he'll get back in the ring. My first choice of the team is Damien Demento.
Wow.
From the outer reaches of your mind.
That's only undesirable, depending on your mind, isn't it?
Whose mind? But from the outer reaches, nonetheless. So I went with Damien Demento. I think Damien could probably still tussle, give him half a chance. I don't think there's any proof out there to say he can't, so I'm going to go with that as a sort of bending of the rule of it. But I think he'd still go. Next, I think nobody can doubt the fact that my next choice could still definitely go, given the opportunity. And I've gone for the Boogeyman.
Yes.
From the bottomless pit. I'm going for the Boogeyman. I think both of those characters so far are teaming up with a current stalwart in British wrestling, somebody who I love to bits, absolute class act, and cannot wait to see where this next year or so takes him, because the career deserves it.
Well, can I guess where you're from? Can I say Birmingham?
Who do you think? Who? Well, actually, just on the outskirts, ooh, Birmingham. This wrestler is from The End of Days.
Ooh.
The End of Days. And it's not
Baron Corbin.
It's none other than my mucker Crater.
Wow! Yes.
So I've gone for the big man Crater from
Crater from Birmingham.
Crater from just the outskirts of Birmingham. The End of Days. Yeah, because once you get outside of Birmingham, it's the apocalypse, isn't it? Really.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yes. So we've got Damien Demento, Boogeyman, and Crater as my team. I think that they'll be absolutely solid. They all look like they're already in Shakara, let's be honest.
Yes,
they don't really have
you
to
wouldn't
do
want to face them, though, would you?
Well, that's the thing. They win by
you wouldn't want to face Craig on his own, but the rest of the other two guys, no, you wouldn't want to face them.
They can play the psychological game. They can play the psychological game. Critic can come in clean house. Taskmaster sort of dances them all merrily down to the ring. They're all from everywhere you don't want to be and coming down to Guns N' Roses right next door to Hell. Wish you were here, lads. That's my team. Wish you were here. Over to you.
Very good. Okay. I thought about this and I've kind of gone backwards and forwards with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick a British wrestler, an American wrestler, and a Japanese wrestler. Team name is The Future Is Now. My British wrestler is Zack Sabre Jr. My American wrestler is Tessa Blanchard. And my Japanese wrestler is Kota Ibushi.
Wow, that's a great team.
That's the team that wins the King of Trios. Unless they come across Mark's team and then we forfeit, no problem.
Nick, do you want to go next?
Okay, my trio is, and it's the team name is the Modern Day Society. Because I haven't just thought about this second. I'm going for a modern day evolution approach to it. Evolution bracket day. The first superstar, one of three, will be the leader, your modern day main eventer, and it's Seth Rollins. Based on the fact that this will be a heel trio, Seth works so much better as a heel.
Yes.
He works better as a smuggly heel, and I think he'll work as brilliant as Triple H did back in when he was in Evolution. So, yeah. Yeah, Seth will be the number one main event guy. Bit of muscle you need there. Your Batista, somebody's up and coming, but got a lot of muscle. That man is Walter.
Wow.
Walter will be the muscle for Seth. He'll fend off. He'll help Seth win matches. If Seth's in a feud with Ricochet or someone, AJ Styles, and Seth fancies putting a bounty, someone's come and cash in, it'll be Walter that will cash in, like Batista did on Goldberg. And then for your up and coming star, someone who's obviously going to be who's going to be the best that there ever will be in the next few years, it is, and you need someone who's going to be a really cocky heel. Who could you do, I hear you ask? That man is MJF.
Wow, yes.
He's your modern-day Randy Orton, I guess. So MJF will be having the feuds with, like, your Roman Reigns's, funny enough, your Randy Orton's and what have you. And, yeah, he'll be also one of the best protectors. And then the manager will give to someone who's pretty much retired. You could even give it to Triple H as the manager, but we won't do that. I'll tell you, we'll give it to Ric Flair.
Yeah,
he's got a job as a manager. It'll be his new group as well. So this is better than the Real Edge of Evolution. You can have then Seth. You can have Seth, MJF, and Walter then go and beat Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton. That's the modern day society. Seth, Walter, and MJF.
Oh, brilliant! That's
please say that they're sponsored by Adidas.
Humor.
I didn't go into detail with mine, but just quickly with the manager, Brett Hitman Hart.
Fair enough.
My team name is Alistair in Wonderland. Probably guess
that's
from
a copyright infringement right there.
You probably guessed from the name that I picked my favourite current wrestler, Alistair Black. I think his hard-hitting style and his dark character will be a great contrast to the wacky world of Shikara, where you have Vikings versus sea monsters and some more effect ants versus... Oh, God, what else have they got? Like, them monsters I interviewed last year. So, and, yeah,
the I way remember he, that interview.
Oh, so scary. He shouted at me for 10 minutes. Yeah, so I think yeah, how are you going to contrast against these wacky characters just wear black tights, kick some ass. So then I thought, who would be my Mad Hatter in this Wonderland? So I've gone with Will-O-The-Wisp. So Will-O-The-Wisp is the umbrella-twirling wild man alter ego of Jeff Hardy. He wore a really cool black and white mask, and he had a really terrifying laugh. Yeah, it was a throwback to his pre-WWF days, where Willow was originally created in the Hardy's Omega promotion. And yeah, he used it briefly in ROH and for a couple of months in TNA, but I think I loved it. I don't know why he stopped doing it so quickly. So, who could be my Jabberwocky? So in the story, the Jabberwocky is a huge dragon, so Luchasaurus fits the bill perfectly. Nice. He's big, he's green. He is very Shikara looking, and with his heel tombstone, my team, it's a victory. And then obviously the team will be managed by Adam Rose's bunny, who will play the White Rabbit.
Obviously.
Obviously. If we do a theme tune, it'll be Alice in Chains' Man in the Box.
That was Tommy Dreamer's ECW theme tune, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Well, I've just realised that I've done a theme tune.
I ain't done a theme tune either, Nick.
I'll give it to Cody Rose, Down South Kingdom, because it's the best theme tune there ever is.
I haven't done a theme tune either.
Coronation Street credits. Bullseye theme.
No.
That's the EastEnders theme tune.
Yeah, I don't know. Play it through the mind of Marilyn Manson, maybe.
It's
a copyright strike.
Yeah, we were doing so well.
I can't take that box with no music.
Sorry.
That's it. My kids also want to get involved, so my 4-year-old Isaac said The Undertaker, Finn and Bray.
Fair enough.
Scary.
Pretty good.
And then my 14-year-old Joel said Jeff Hardy, Finn Balor and Ali, and they're going to be called the Bullet Glow Extreme Team.
Very Shikara. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Very good.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So let us know if you enjoyed that conversation at BBG. wpod@gmail.com or on our Twitter, bbgwpod or bbgwrestling. So
yeah, likewise, if you weren't able to take part in the original question asking people for the suggestions, feel free to comment more suggestions.
This is the leader of the rejected Demon Eye. You are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Alright, it's time for the final round of questions of sports entertainment. So, Oliver, so what are the scores so far?
Shut up.
In a superbly tight contest, there's a point in it between three men. So, Mark's got 0 out of 5. Chris has got 1 out of 5. And Nick's got 1 out of 5. So, all to play for, lads.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, because obviously obscure questions. I'm going to give you a question that hopefully you'll know the answer to. And if you don't, you probably need to hand in your pro wrestling fandom card. Okay, so we're moving on from ROH to NWA TNA. It's 2003, Nick. Sorry. So Paul London had a number of matches in NWA TNA. He was working under a non-contract, that's why WWE signed him up. But in particular with these two matches, he took on Kid Cash and All Hail Chris Sabin. He fought for a title. What's the name of the title?
Okay,
all three of you have answered. That's fine. In a segment backstage, Paul London was given an opportunity. on a SmackDown taping to make his debut in ring. Who was his opponent? It's his October 2003.
Okay. Okay. I got that one wrong.
And thank you, Nick, for saying it's number two. That keeps everything in check. Okay. On a WWE Velocity taping, Paul London teams with Spanky. He would later be called his real name, Brian Kendrick, against one of my favourite dream teams of Brian Danielson and which ROH veteran?
I just don't know.
You picked a period of time when I just wasn't watching wrestling.
Okay, sent.
Skipping forward to 2005. Paul London won the Cruiserweight title for the first time in February 2005. Who did he defeat? Well, at WWE No Way Out, who did he defeat?
Okay.
Here we go. Just wait for Nick's answer. Okay. That's fine. And for the last question, Paul London has won 3 different WWE Tag Team Championships with Billy Kidman and Brian Kendrick. Can you tell me the years that these titles were won? So, World Tag Team titles, WWE Tag Team titles, and I believe Raw Tag Team titles. It's 3 different years, so you get 3 different points.
Right.
Okay, Nick's done it. Mark's done it. Just waiting for you, Chris.
Okay, done.
And that is the end of the quiz. Sweet.
Jesus.
Okay, do you want to go for answers?
I'm telling you now, if I somehow win this, my quiz is going to be all about Aldo Montoya. So, right, come on. Let's do this.
Question number one was Paul London appeared on NWA TNA pay-per-view a number of times. But for the sake of this question, he took on Kid Cash and All Hail Chris Sabin. What title was on the line when he was in these matches? We've got Nick Davies at the TV Championship. Nope, they didn't have one. Chris Lappin has said the X Division title. That is correct, sir.
All right.
And
is the X Division around back then?
Yeah. 2003. It came into effect in 2002. AJ Styles was the first X Division champion on the second ever pay per view. And you said the NWA lightweight title, Mark. So
yeah, I just assumed there was some kind of like crossover at that point still.
No, I can understand that because the NWA title was the main title in TNA at the time, so that's understandable. Jeez. Chris, you are correct. One point to you. Second question was, Paul London was in a segment backstage with Vince McMahon. He wanted an opportunity to wrestle somebody. Who was his opponent? And the answer is Brock Lesnar. So, yay. Nick, you are correct, and you draw a level with Chris. Chris said Snitsky or Snicky.
I can
get the last one.
And Mark said Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, I completely misheard that question. I thought we were still talking about TNA. Sorry.
No, it's fair enough.
I missed the Vince McMahon bit.
So we got 2-2 on that one. Okay,
All to play for.
Number 3 is... Jeez. Depending on answer, really. The ROH veteran. Okay, so it was Paul London and Spanky against Brian Danielson and ROH pure champion Hurricane John Walters.
No. Okay.
So if you watched ROH, you might have known. If you don't, then you wouldn't. So Chris said Steve Corino. Good show, because Steve Corino was wrestling, but no, that's incorrect. Then we've got Mark said Low Key. Once again, good shout, but incorrect. And Nick said AJ Styles, which is fair enough as well. Okay, so still 2-2, and Mark's got 0. Sorry, Mark.
Come back now, though, isn't it? Two questions to go. 4 points on the line.
That's how it happened for me, Mark.
Indeed.
So who knows?
I know.
Okay. So the next question is, Paul London won the Cruiserweight title for the first time at No Way Out 2005.
Oh, stuck between two.
Who did he beat in the Cruiserweight Open? And the answer is SmackDown's number one announcer, Funaki. Nick said Jamie Noble. Once again, good shout for the time. Chris said Billy Kidman. He had a fantastic match at No Mercy 2004, but no, not at the time. And Mark said Jamie Noble as well, so he's obviously copying Nick's answers at this point.
There's been a few of them, Nick. Why couldn't I copy the ones that you got right?
That's what happens when you cheat on the test. Don't do that at home, kids. Okay, and the last question, which I, you know, messed up in different ways, was Paul London was WWE Tag Team Champion and World Tag Team Champion with Billy Kidman and Brian Kendrick, respectively. When did they win these titles? So, Nick has said 2004, 2006, and 2007. Chris has said 2002 when he wasn't in the company, 2006, and 2007. Okay, and Mark's got 2003 when he was in Ohio Valley Wrestling, 2004, and he was in Ohio Valley Wrestling until
just drafted him up for the title match.
Yeah, they did, and then they sent him back down for Jim Cornette to have a go at him.
Yep.
2003, 2004, and 2008. Okay, So we'll go with Mark first. Not 2003. No. Yes, 2004. So you get 1 point.
Yeah.
And not 2008 because him and Kendrick got split up in the draft. So 1 point to Mark. You got on the board there, mate. Well done.
We love that one.
And next up, Chris Lappin. One in 2006, one in 2007. Okay, Chris, you've got 2 points, so you have 4 points altogether. Nick, one in 2004, one in 2006, one in 2007, 3 points, and Nick wins 5-4-1.
Congratulations.
There you go. Your quiz next time, Nick.
I'm already thinking of what I'm going to draw up.
Yeah. Before the BBG big debate, we have a partnership with powerslam.tv, where you get a month's free access to over 145 promotions in over 20 different countries, contributing 6,000 hours of content, including podcast favourites Riptide and Progress and Evolve and Shine, by using the promo code BROKENFREE. The BBG big debate. Alright, so the results in reverse order. So 4th place was me with 18%, Randy Savage. Oliver was third, Bret Hart. Mark was second, Mr. Perfect, 25%. So the winner, Chris Jericho, 37%, is Nick. Congratulations, Nick.
Well done, Nick. Well done, Nick.
A little bit of the bubbly.
To be fair, it's quite a perfect time that he got that vote, just as he's, you know, won the fans over for paying for Nasty Boy's operations.
Yes.
But, you know... No, it's rightly deserved. So well done, Nick.
So congratulations, Nick. So you get to pick this week's debate.
He was the best Intercontinental Champion of all time, or the worst, because he lost it 8 times, but yeah.
Or 9 times.
Or if we're including the New Japan title, 9 times.
That's so congratulations,
Nick. He's the best still competitive Intercontinental Champion of all times.
He's definitely the GOAT. You know, my top 10 favourite wrestlers, he's been the one who's been wrestling the longest.
Can't argue with any of the names that we came up with, though, I don't think. I think we're all fair shouts.
Nick, you get to pick this week's debates. What are we debating this week?
So, this week, Michael, we'll be debating... we will be debating Brexit. No, I'm joking. We'll be debating... This week we're going to be debating the best King of the Ring winners of all time. Ooh. Thanks to the fantastic magical moment, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, of Baron Corbin beating Chad Gable. Oliver, if you can go first this week.
I'm going first. Oh, great.
Right, so you get one pick each, you get 1 minute to argue your pick.
1 minute.
And your time starts now.
Yeah, it's 100%, isn't it? It's Bret the Hitman Hart. Won the 1993 King of the Ring, beat Razor Ramon in a fantastic match, beat Mr. Perfect in a match that might be even better than SummerSlam 91. He beat Bam Bam Bigelow in an amazing final. He had the feud with Jerry the King Lawler that lasted a year afterwards. He used the King of the Ring in the best possible ways, the platform to win the world title. He went on and won the WWF world title 5 times. He left to go to WCW and won the WCW US title twice and the WCW world heavyweight title twice. And the WCW tag team titles with Goldberg as well. So Bret used the King of the Ring to get to the very top, and that's why he's the best.
And you did that bang on cue. Mark, 3, 2, 1, off you go, Mark Fox.
So I'm going to go for the better of the Hart brothers, Owen Hart. He is the younger, better looking brother of the two to start with, and he won it the year after. It was perfectly played, this, because it was a kind of anything you can do, but I can do better, naturally. And it was it led into this wonderful feud that started at the tail end of 93, following Bret's massive rise in 1993, if you like, as this kind of unstoppable force in many people's eyes, until one came along and put an end to that at Survivor Series, leading into Rumble, leading into Mania. We got past kicking his leg out of his leg, and we got the King of the Ring, where he beat Tatanka, who, let's remember, was he'd had a massively undefeated sort of streak, like, not necessarily by that point, but he was undefeated for a hell of a lot of the time in WWF until roughly that area. Then he had that awesome short 2 minute match with 1-2-3 Kid that I've bleated on about. And Razor Ramon in the final. King of Hearts.
There's cheating there.
A little bit, Nick.
I was waiting for Nick to call it. I wasn't waiting for Oliver to call it.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Chris, 3, 2, 1, off you go.
So Austin 316 says, I just whipped your ass. So nice. after a lackluster stint as DiBiase's protege, the ringmaster, Stone Cold Steve Austin beat Jake the Snake in the final 1996 and cut the greatest promo of all time, and a new star was instantly born. He initially booked as a heel. He'll go on to have a legendary double turn with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. And yeah, so if it was Steve Austin's blistering speech immediately following the tournament that basically some people say caused the Attitude Era, and that's why he's the greatest King of the Ring of all time, it's the Texas Rattlesnake.
Okay, you're in, Nick. 3, 2, 1, go.
So, yeah, we can talk all about these classic wrestlers. We might as well build to the future. Baron Corbin is the best King of the Ring of all time. Why? Because he got into the tournament as absolutely nothing, getting slated. People wondering why he's even in the tournament. But every match he had in King of the Ring this year was the best. He stole the show. He's come away with it actually being one of the best things on telly. Who cares about it? It's not, you can argue saying, oh, with The Fiend's the best thing on TV. Oh, no. Buddy Murphy's the best thing on TV. Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, best thing on TV. Absolutely not. It's all been about Baron Corbin and his run. It's been absolutely fantastic. And the best part is, we've got a fantastic King of Rome there. He's going to rule with an iron fist, and we're going to see some incredible matches coming up. And that match against Chad Gable, as we said, was just a moment of magic. It was the best moment, I'd say, since Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30. The emotion was pouring out of everyone. It was just incredible, and a moment you had to be there for. And that is why King Corbin is the best of all time.
Time.
I think you've just anybody who votes
a straight face, man, he deserves to win that based on that, in all honesty.
Anybody who votes for Baron Corbin out of those has just soiled the votes as far as I'm concerned. Put a big
you know, X. Look who he's in the ring with when you're saying he's having the best matches on the card.
Nick, mate, you could sell an Eskimo kebab. Well done. That was good crack.
Right, so Wednesday lunchtime, I'll put a poll up on our Twitter, BBGWPod, and the winner will get to pick next week's topic. So, before we go, we've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. This Friday, look out for my interview with the professional Nathan Cruz. Mark, you got any announcements?
Yeah, we'll be uploading our interview with Colby Carino quite soon. I think that'll be coming up momentarily in the next few days. We've also got our interview, following on with the Hands Off the Merchandise theme at the moment, we've got an interview with Figures Toy Company, who are knocking out some awesome figures and have done for a long, long time. So, yes.
Oliver, do you want to do your books quickly?
I've done a British wrestling book that covers the period of 2001 to 2007. That's called A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I've done a WWE book, which is based on the 2016 year, which covers Raw and SmackDown Live pay-per-views, NXT takeovers. The WWE book is called A Fan's Perspective 2016, What Year to Be a Fan of WWE. I've done a book on WrestleMania 24 that's called Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. These books are all available for half the Amazon price on my fansperspective.bigcartel.com. They're all available on your local Amazon in paperback. And if you have a Kindle, you can get them instantaneously on Kindle. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get them instantaneously again. And I get paid per page as you read in the first scene.
Cool. So I really hope you enjoyed this week's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at BBGWPod. Our main hub is BBG Wrestling. We'll be launching our website soon, BBGWrestling.com.
Bye!
Good night.
Bye, everyone.